Blog Talk Radio.
The healer is in the house. His name is Jesus. I call
part of the fellowship of the unashamed.
In the name
of Holy Spirit power,
I
stepped over the line, the decision.
Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Healed and whole. No disease, no sickness, no pain. The miracle working power. Yeah. And we thank you. The Lord is in the house to touch us, to heal us, to deliver us. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. We are healed. We are delivered. We are empowered, anointed, instructed, enabled by the great Holy Spirit. Everyone be in touch tonight by the great Holy Spirit. We made a room for him. We made a place for him. He's come to touch us tonight. Come to touch us. We'll take this home with us. It's contagious. Oh, yeah. Let's praise him again. Oh, yeah. Lemonda la mando la masando. He la mando le pote la masangan. Right out of the spirit, man. Right out of your spirit, man. We sing with the understanding. We sing with the spirit. Oh, la fe, la pate, la pato, la pape. Sabindo, Liablasha, Shakandola Mahasaka. In the name of Jesus, it won't hurt a bit to love on somebody and call them blessed. Do that. Love on somebody, whether you know them or not. Say, I call you blessed. You are blessed. I call you blessed. You are blessed, but we call you blessed. Shakobato, great job. Wow, great job. Great job. Shakatola masando la bliste ke lever shoto. Oh, the Lord is with us, isn't he? Has the worship team done us good? Give them a good hand. Amen. Our drummer's attention. Pretty good, man. Good drummer. Thanks for hanging out with us. And thank you, Pastor Jeremy, for lending him to us. Amen. This is a Michigan guy. This is a Michigan girl. In Michigan, we know the difference. We know the difference in Michigan. This is a Michigan guy. This guy was hitchhiking, and he had a sign that said, I can play for food. But he's from right here. Give them a good hand. Don't we appreciate good worship and praise? Now, I said it last night. I'll say it again. New Way Church, that's a church if you're visiting. They're a hot worship team. We don't bring our team because theirs wasn't good enough. Not at all. No, 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 no. This is a hot worship in this place. We bring our team so that most of the New Way team can take a rest and enjoy and be out here instead of always up here. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. We're okay with you playing. I don't think you listen to your pastor that well anyhow. I'm teasing you. There's an anointing tonight in the house for marriages.
Thank you, Jesus.
For marriages. The Lord began to speak to me really strong. You know, Marxism, that's a demon, is wanting to destroy the institution of the home that God created. One of the greatest deficits we have in the world today, including America, is fatherhood, spiritual fathers, natural fathers, obeying the Heavenly Father. You know the Heavenly Father never do a thing he tells you. But if you do what he tells you, his anointing, that means the presence of his son. That will lift every weighty thing that tries to smother you and pin you to the mat. It destroys every yoke. There's different ways to say that. Shackled. The yoke is the part of the instrument used to attach the burst of burden, the beast of burden, to the burden, to the weight, the horse, the mule, the oxen. So the anointing of God severs and breaks that yoke. So no matter how much weight and how much burden there is on your life, it doesn't just follow you around. The Spirit breaks that thing. We need this desperately. So as the Lord leads tonight, we're going to lay hands on those of you that are married, even if you're not here together as a couple. Now, maybe your marriage is under siege. That doesn't mean you're bad. You're under attack. Like, what's it? In one way, there is a difference. But in one way, what's the difference? If you're fighting off a sickness, you wouldn't take blame for that and not come up for in a healing line. But so if there's something going on in your marriage, let's get a stop to it. But maybe there's nothing going on in your marriage and you're happily married, but you can still do some anointing. Amen on that. Hey, I met Vicky at 13, married her at 18, been married 52 years. We're doing pretty good. Praise God. She still thinks I'm cool. Why are you laughing? She thinks I'm cool. She thinks I'm handsome. She tells me. You're handsome. One time she said, rewind the tape. We were getting ready for Sunday morning. Some of you heard this story, but we don't make up stories. So the only stories we have are the stories we have. So if you hear this story, just act like you never have. So Sunday morning, I'm at my son. He's at hers in our home. And we're getting ready for church. Now, my side of the sink is in perfect Marine Corps order. I'm serious. All of my little bottles are turned with the labels at the perfect angle. Perfect. Vicky's side of that's Hurricane Victoria. But if you move one thing, she'll say, don't touch that. I know right where it's at. I said, yeah, under this pile of junk. It's not junk. And I know where it's at. Get on your side. So I'm getting ready, you know, for church. I'm shaving, and I could tell she was looking at me. Looking at me. There's a difference. And ladies, when you, I know this to be like my chin, and my chin was my forehead, but, you know, nonetheless, it makes you want to, you know, cock-a-doodle-doo. Here's a word to all you ladies. Your man is a rooster. Don't treat him like a hen. He needs a cock-a-doodle-doo, and you don't want him to cock-a-doodle-doo in someone else's barnyard. I have no idea where this is going tonight. I don't think I have ever said anything like that in my preaching career. So I could tell Vicky's looking at me. So, you know, you guys know that means everything to us. So buff up, you know. So I was shaving, you know. And when I could tell she was looking, it's like. Then I looked at her, and she had that look, you know. Ooh, glory. And she said, I believe, she's right here to verify. She said, I believe you're the most handsome man in the whole world. Yes. Yeah. Okay. I know I'm not. I look in the mirror. But I just say, Lord, thank you. Open all blind eyes but Vicky's. May she always think this of me. So, you know, the devil hates your marriage. The devil doesn't want you happy. The devil doesn't want you to take care of each other. Someone asked me, you know, once or twice, at least once a year, I just sat on the platform with Vicky, and we let our, for like an hour and a half, 2 hours, we let our church family ask us anything they want to about anything. And we answered most of it. And so, you know, I keep getting asked this question. What is one of your major roles in life? I tell everybody, one of my major roles in life is to make sure that Vicky Barclay is cared for, has anything she needs. If I can, she can have anything she wants. And that's my, I'm going to make sure she's my best disciple. I'm going to protect her. I'm going to keep the demons away from her. And I'm not going to submit to her. Come on. You want to ruin a 52-year marriage? Just get things out of biblical order.
Right.
Satan wants to strike, and Satan will strike anything out of biblical order. Just get your marriage out of biblical order and stand by for pain. Because he won't hold back, because he hates marriage. He hates it. Now, that doesn't mean I don't ever listen to her. She's very wise, holy woman. But I can't submit to her because it's not biblical. It's not law. And all I got to do is, you know, she's not this way, but we know people. We know people who are that way.
Yeah.
I've had guys say, Doc, it's just easier to submit and let her do her own thing and have peace at the house. You're not going to have a house. It's a matter of time. You're dooming yourself. Why? Not because of this, that, or the other. The Bible, our God, put things in order the way he knew they would work in the earth. Whether you like it or not, women, whether you like it or not, guys. One time we were doing a marriage thing, and this lady said, well, you know, I have trouble submitting to my husband. I said, you think maybe he has trouble letting you? He has to be responsible for you. Look at you. Your attitude, your mouth. How would you like to give account to Jesus Christ for you? But the husband has to on judgment day. The Lord will ask you. You're responsible for your marriage. In fact, I could get verses on all of this. I'm just exhorting for a minute, see where this goes before I lay hands on you. But you know, the Bible says, I have to present Vicky, my wife, not your wife. I got to present my wife unto Christ on judgment day, just like he presented the church to the Heavenly Father. That's my duty. How can I do that if I follow her instead of lead her? Oh, you're going to be quiet tonight, are you? Okay. My outline tonight is from my little book. I have an outline if it makes you feel better. But this is a little book I wrote, and I called it Man Maker. Say it. Man
Maker.
Now, I wrote this book about Vicky. Because I'm going to flat tell you, I'll tell the whole world, without her, we wouldn't have a family. Now, I'm a good dad, I'm a good leader, but I would have been long gone. I was long gone. I'm a global missionary. I've been all over the world several times. I've been up, down, in, and out, and I would have just, and it was Vicky and the caliber of a holy woman that said, hang on a second, this kid's having this, the school's doing that. I couldn't make everything because of the call of God. But without that anointing and without that motherhood and wifing me, we would have a broken family. I might be faithful to God, but it wouldn't have been like it is today. It just wouldn't. I think you ought to give Vicky a good hand clap. So I wrote this little book. Now, it was big when I wrote it. That thick, that big. And the Lord said, why don't you just knock this down and cut to the chase and make a little book that people can put in their pocket and carry it with them and dig it out and get this thing inside of them. So after her, the woman God used to make a man out of me, I wrote this little book. And this is going to be my, I'm not going to read the book to you, but this is my outline tonight. Okay. My outline is this, point number one. There are synonyms for the word anointing. We already discussed anointing is the presence of Jesus ultimately. And that anointing destroys the yoke, lifts the burden off from the life it's meant to be. The more trouble you have, the more Jesus you need. The more hassle you're in, the more church services you need. Thank you for your enthusiasm, but this is the truth. You don't have rest. When you're being beat up, you run to the Lord, you run to the altar, you run to the house of God, and you get the most anointing on you. But another word for anointing, for example, is unction. Unction is just another word for anointing and the function of anointing. Can you think of another word? How about the virtue? Remember, the woman said, with the issue of blood, spent all her money on the medical field, couldn't get healed. I'm sure they tried. Don't mean it that way. She said within herself, I'm going to meet this woman. I hope she makes heaven. She said within herself, she's talking to herself. You better learn to talk to yourself. You better learn to talk to yourself. Not a joke. She talked to herself and she said, if I can but get to him and touch even the bottom part, the hem of his garment, I'll be made whole. Now, if she's caught, that's a death penalty. They could stone her to death for having an issue of blood and being in public under the law of the land where she was at. She got healed. Why? She touched it, and Jesus said, who touched me? You know this story, right? Who touched me? And the disciples said, Jesus, these streets are packed. I've been to Israel many times, and I've worked with Jordan University on projects. I've taken preachers there, I've taken believers there all through the years. I know the country very well. I have friends there in very high places. And there's certain a part of Jerusalem that when you get there, the streets are so narrow, you bump into each other constantly. That's where we're at here in the story of the Bible. And the disciples said, Jesus, who touched you? We're trying to get you through here, but it's very crowded streets. And Jesus said, no, I don't mean bumped into me. Who knew how to get healing miracles from me without including me? That's a powerful story. This woman got a miracle from Jesus and never included him in the process. Never called upon him, never shouted out his name. He never laid hands on her. She knew, if I can touch that anointing, I'll be whole. And the, and Jesus said, they said, who touched you? And Jesus said, virtue has left me. Anointing, unction. Sometimes it is the word anointed or anointing, virtue. But I'll tell you another word that is synonymous with anointing. It's called wife. Not woman. The Bible doesn't say, he who findeth a hot woman has found a good thing. Read about Samson, he'll show you. He had a hot chick. He died blind with the enemy camp. That's what a hot chick will do for you. It says, he that findeth a... What's the difference? It didn't say, he that finds a married woman or a woman who would marry you. It's talking about anointing, the anointing to wife. The word wife belongs to holy matrimony. It's a word for anointing. There is nothing like a woman, Christian woman, who taps into this anointing. You can pick out a man who is being wifed under the anointing. Oh yeah, he walks totally different than a guy who's not. You can see it. Use the phrase, it's cock-a-doodle-doo, man. His shoulders are back. He stands up straight. He's got a confidence about him. Why? Because the number one person who's in his kitchen, living room, bed, bathroom, and in his face is totally anointed by Jesus Christ to take care of the man and make sure he's a man. That's an anointing. That's a, you can't just read a book and say, I got it. You got to get before God and say, Lord, anoint me to wife my husband. Anoint me to wife him. Now, if you try to mother your husband, now there are weak men who would rather be mothered and smothered than lead. I get that. And sometimes they marry someone just like their bossy mother. Hey, mothers are supposed to be bosses.
That's right.
It's part of their role in life. Straighten you up, line you out. And when you turn 18, nothing changes. When you turn 38, nothing changes. My mother died two weeks before 90 and was still barking orders at me. That's what they do. But that's not what wives do. Maria's mother. This is like a funeral in here right now. Flowers, the casket. I've done many funerals in my day. It's like, okay, praise the Lord. Preach it, Brother Barclay. Yeah, right. Okay. This is what God said to deal with, so we're just obeying God. There's not to this. I could teach all week long, so tricky. We could. Service after service on the role, the biblical role of a wife, the biblical anointing to wife, what happens if you do wife your man, husband, what happens if you don't, what happens if you do mother him instead, and what happens if in your marriage you're a Jezebel. Now, I'm not talking about a woman, Jezebel, I'm talking about a demon. What happens if you can't separate a skirt from breeches? I'm going to tell you, go ahead, put the family pants on, darling, and watch what happens to your marriage. You will kill it. You will deteriorate. As much as that man loves you, eventually he's going to start pulling down, pulling away because that's how it is. And then you start breaking hedges. You get your marriage out of biblical order, Satan strikes. The anointing to wife. Huh. How about the anointing to husband? The word husband doesn't mean married man. Now, you can't be a husband without being a married man. There's a lot of married men who never husband their wives. You can tell a woman who is married to a Christian man who has tapped in to the yoke-destroying, burden-lifting anointing to the husband. You can look at, you can tell. She stands strong. She's very confident. No one's going to mess with her because of the anointing that's on her man. Fear is repelled in their home. The fear that I might lose my man to another woman does not exist under the anointing of Jesus Christ. Why? Because the word is synonymous, it's a synonym for the anointing that lifts every weight and destroys every yoke. What if men didn't want to lead their family? What if they didn't want to make their wife the number one disciple? What if they have this little coward thing? They don't want to tell their wife the truth. So they just keep slowly succumbing to the pressure, the resistance. Because a woman out of order, even God doesn't want to do that. Women are powerful. Women are probably the most powerful creature on the planet. They are. God has lost more good men to wrong women than any other one thing you can name. Even champion men. Women are awesome, powerful. Men were given authority. Now, we all have the authority of the believer, right? You know that. If you're born again, you have an authority package. You can domineer the demons. You can cast them out. You can live under the authority of God. But the man has been given authority like the heads of the tribe of Israel, right? Now, Jesus had a lot of followings, but his 12 disciples were men. Just hear me for a minute. This is not an anti-woman speech. Just hear me a minute. And so what if a man doesn't want to take charge and be responsible to God for his household? So he lets his children be out of order? Well, if I don't have to run away from home, they're going anyhow. When I turn 18, I'm out of here. Store up your money because you don't get in my refrigerator after 18 if you're leaving. Get your own car, buy your own gas. Find out what life is all about if you think you're that tough. Mark to heaven, I believe I've killed another congregation. Wow. One Sunday morning at home, it got so quiet, a little worse than this, because at least we have the keyboard playing. I had to tell the television audience, I said, listen, I know y'all think this is like a wax museum, that these are all mannequins. They don't move. They don't make a peep sound. They just sit there while I preach. But they really are real people. Imagine that. Thank you for your holy silence. Well, Brother Barclay, I think I disagree with you. Oh, I'm heartbroken. Oh, my God, I've never had anybody disagree with me before. But I can tell you this. Every one of us and mothers in the faith, they were married 50, 60, almost 70 years, happy. Almost 70 years, happy. Working together for God, raised their babies. Their babies served God. They were found in the house of God, husband and wife, right to the end of their life. That's what I'm following, man. And that's what's going to be for me, Vicky. How about you? Yeah. Now, you can't claim that you're an anointed husband because or you wish you were. It's your duty to bring on that wife of hers all the fear, all the rebellion, not by you beating her, by you having this anointing that literally lifts this heavy weight off from her. Right? Right? Now, you've been with me many times. I call home to Vicky or wherever I'm at. I'm out traveling most of my life. I'll call home to Vicky probably, I don't know, 5-7 times a day.
You always answer her
call. I answer. If she wasn't here and she called me right now, I'd answer it and say, wait a minute, everybody.
Always.
There's somebody in my life, as much as I love you, there's somebody in my life more important than you. I have a covenant her, she has a special ringer on my phone. It's the love song we danced to as a kids. And when that song plays, I don't care where I'm at. Excuse me. Excuse me. I have a covenant to answer this phone call right now, right? You've been there. Amen. So, there. So if I call her, like, hey, what are you doing? Oh, this and that. Okay, just checking on you. Love you. Love you. Two or three times later, I'll call and I'll say, Vicki, what are you doing? She goes, same thing I was doing an hour ago, like she's annoyed. But if I don't call, she calls me and says, what, you forget you have a wife? Wow. And don't get me started on the dressing rooms in the department stores. That's husband torture. I'm gonna go try this on. Just buy it. Let's not tax our marriage. Just buy the dumb thing. Buy three of them. Buy one of every color. And you know, in most department stores, you guys know, this might have nothing to do with my message, but it might be very therapeutic for me. So let me get this off my chest. Whenever they go in the dressing room to try on clothes, do you know where we have to stand? In the women's department. I'm not confused. There ain't a woman thing about me. I don't even wear silky underwear. There is not a woman thing about me. So what kind of Vicky's trying on stuff? And I got to stand in the women's department. And so I'm standing there waiting on her, you know, and women are walking by and they're not saying anything, but you get that woman look. So this little girl comes up about this tall and she stops right in front of me. She goes, and I said, is there something I can help you with? You are a man. I felt like saying, I'm glad you noticed. I told Vicki, I'm not standing, and I'm never, ever again, I'm not standing in any lingerie department, and I'm not even walking through the avenue, the valley of the shadow of that. There, thank you. I feel better about everything. Woo! Praise God. Amen. I'm going home with you tonight, by the way, Shirley. You can't win. I said, Vicki will try it on. She'll come out. You know, she'll say, how does this look? I'm going to help all you guys right now. Just buy it. Yeah, but does it look good on me? Now, if it does, hallelujah, we're in for a great dinner. But if it doesn't, you've looked better in other things. Yes, I do. You can't lie. You got to be true. So what is it? Does it make me look fat? I did not say the fat word. You said the fat word. I didn't say the fat word. I'm never going to say the fat word. Oh, you want to call it heavy? So I look heavy in it? Vicki, just buy the thing. Buy two of them, one of each color. No. Men were given positions of authority in this kingdom by God. And when you ladies try to step into manhood, you are cursing yourself, your husband, your kids, your household, your family, your church, and everything else. Why? Because God did not make a void for you to stand in there. Had nothing to do with man, male, female, this church, that church. Well, you better get caught up, Doc. This is 2020. I know, pathetic, isn't it? That even a man can't tell, woman can't tell. We're confused puppies, man. Stand up on the basket and you don't know when to go pee-pee in. This is modern. This is a mess. This is an absolute mess. Anyways, you men, you can't fill a woman's role. You're going to curse yourself. Guys, listen, you can't do that. You can't take secondary. Why? God doesn't permit. You get to choose your own choosing and set your own pace. You got to find out in the Bible, what is a husband's role? And then do what your Bible says and don't be the wife. And quit trying to teach your wife how to be a wife when you don't even know how to be a wife, because you're not a wife, because you're not a woman. No, I don't think I can repeat that exactly like that. But it was pretty good, wasn't it? We'll have to rewind the video later, praise God. Hallelujah. But the reason I say women are more powerful than men as creatures, creation, because God gave you women influence. He may have given us men positions of authority. Now, don't mistake. We all have the authority of the believer. You can never, ladies, I'm sorry, I love you. You can never be the head of your marriage, and you can never be the head of your home if you're married, because God will not permit it. The devil would love you to do it and ruin you. You better walk soft, and you better get this down, right? But I learned this. For men, they can make things happen with authority, but certain things stop authority, and a wise, anointed woman can use her influence and make that thing happen where authority couldn't. I've watched so much. I always give this illustration. My pastor, we built that nice sanctuary years ago. I wanted my pastor to come dedicate it, so I called him, John Osey. I said, Pastor John, will you come dedicate this building for me? He did. It was like, no. I said, well, Mark, I'm not coming. I love you. You don't need me to dedicate a church building. You dedicate. I said, but I want you. He said, Mark, I'm not coming. He says, no. Besides that, your people are anointed. Every screw, every paint, you know, they were praying and worship. That building's already in it. I said, so you're not coming. Wow, he said, you're flowing today. So I said, okay, I hung up. I went home. Vicky said, what did you ask Pastor? Yes. What'd he say? He's not coming. Did you ask him to pray about it? Yeah, Vicky. What do you think? This is kindergarten. I don't know square from round. You know, it's like, yeah, I asked him to pray about it. Well, what'd he say? Well, I saw you pray about it. He said, no, there's no reason to. I'm not coming. I wasn't offended at that, right? If you're going to be offended when your leaders talk to you, you just need to go to the nursery. They got nursery over here. They got little crackers and juice. I'll change diaper for you over there. It's pretty good. So it wasn't like I was offended. I just said, no, he's not coming. So I hate it when Vicky was offended. So Vicky said, no. She takes my hand, you're my daughter, so she takes my hand and she goes, now, honey, don't you worry about it. I'll call Dodie. Mrs. Osteen. I said, Vicky, don't do that. Please don't do that. Next day, pastor calls. What is that for that building thing? I said, Vicky called. She didn't call me. She called Dodie. And I'm coming to dedicate that building. Now, next time you want something like that and I say no, you don't have to stick Vicky on Dodie and Dodie on me. Just tell me Vicky's going to call and I'll go ahead and say yes. And he came and dedicated the building. Influence. And it's not unlawful to once in a while use it lawfully. Hey, Vicky, want to make a call? Yeah. Years ago, they had this thing called Women's Lib. And they got a hold of me because they hate my teaching on the Bible. They hate in those days, they hated the Bible because the Bible was direct opposite of what they were trying to do. And so one of their spokesmen or leaders called me and said, why are you teaching that? I said, well, I got a question for you. Why do you want to be a man? We break everything. We mess up everything. You want to be one of us? What are you, nuts? You be a woman and watch how you can even rule many things in life by your influence. And by the way, if you think this is just me, it's not. Many countries of this world, in the war rooms, the secretaries of state, the negotiators, the ambassadors, if the country can do it, they're appointing women. You know why? Because even our enemy at that level is trying to be a gentleman. And when a man walks in the room, it's fighting, man. It's rough weather. When a woman walks in, even from an enemy country, the gentlemen stand up and for a lady, and they'll listen to her. And that's why many, including our country, many times we've sent women to negotiate because of this powerful influence that God had given them. And if a woman in Christ ever learns this influence, she will be one of the power creatures to ever walk this planet. It's true. But when a man tries to use influence, and when a woman tries to just muscle things with authority, including the home, good luck. Because Satan's going to say out of order, and he's going to strike. I'm preaching pretty good.
Yes, you are.
I know. It takes more courage to follow than it does to lead. Because if you're married, for example, I guess we're going to pray for marriages, so that's how we got on all this. If you're married, and God the lead. Now, this goes further. What about mother and father? You can be married. You can be a married man and not have the anointing to husband. You can be a married woman and not have the anointing to wife. You can be a married man and a married woman and have offspring and never father or mother them under the anointing of Jesus. The word father and the word mother is another synonym for the anointing. If a man goes to the Heavenly Father, the Lord Jesus, and says, I need an anointing to father my children, no matter their age. You know why? Because a man can have seven kids. This man has seven kids. Are they all the same?
No,
not at all. Not at all. Not even the twins. That's right. Same dad, same mom, same house, same church, same Bible, same God. And as they grow up, they're all going to need a different application of the anointing to keep that burden off from them and that yoke that Satan's trying to lasso them. And so you say the anointing, Lord, anoint me to father my children. Lord, anoint me to mother my children. And you know what? He'll do it. You know why? It's what he wants. The Lord doesn't want any of our children in the world. None of them. Can I have a better amen? So it takes courage to lead. Vicki and I have said this before, pastoring for so many years as well. We've noticed that a lot of parents, when the kids get to be about nine, it used to be 13, but no, get to be about nine, and the parents want to be their buddy and friend rather than mom and dad. You will curse your children. You were never meant to be their friend, but at any age they are, instead of being their parent. Now I tell everybody, Josh Barclay is probably my very best friend. We worked together since Mama got him out of diapers. But when it comes right down to it, Josh knows I'm not his buddy, and he's not my buddy. I'm the dad. He's the son. I'm the boss. He's assigned to help me. Now let's go to work, right? So don't overinterpret, in other words, what I'm saying. But if you just want to be friends with your kids and, well, you know, oh, I got to get off this. You know, they're just kids. Let them experiment with what? Drugs, booze, sex? What are you talking about? And you break the hedge. Satan will strike. Set the hook and drag your kids right away from you. So, praise God. So, we learned this in our life. I respect Vicki so much because she has the courage to follow me even when she disagrees. Imagine that. And Vicky's not afraid to say when she disagrees. And if she was, we're not happily married. I'm not respected. If she has no say, if she's just a slave to me, here comes Satan. That's totally out of order. But what if I do disagree? So many times, well, that makes it sound like every time. But many times all through, I mean, we've been married a long time. And she'll say to me, now, Mark, this is how I see it. This is what I say. Or you have to give an account of Jesus Christ, not me. So you know how I feel about it. You know what I just said. I think you're wrong. I think you're making a wrong decision. There. I had my say. You do what you want. I'm right behind you. And I'll pray to God for his mercy that he either turns this to our favor or he'll be here to pick up the pieces if you really are wrong. But I think you're wrong.
Okay.
I don't say get thee behind me, Satan. I say get thee behind me, Vicky. But many times I'll stop a minute and I'll say, you're right. I like to give it an hour or a day and come back and say, you know what I think, Vicky? I kind of feel impressed. I don't lie. I don't say it was God. It was her yesterday giving me the scoop. I like to come back and say, I think we ought to do this. And you know what's cool? She listens to it. You know she told me that. I know she told me that. God knows she told me that. But I didn't lie when I said I felt impressed. I'm preaching better than any of you are saying amen tonight. Wow. Woo, man. You should have sang longer. We needed a heavier anointing in here to launch this rocket tonight, I guess. I don't know. I didn't intend to do any of this. I hope that don't show, but I didn't. I just, the Lord led me into this. Amen. So it takes, I've told Vicky, I don't think I could be a submitted wife. Well, not only just because I'm not a woman, it takes great courage. It takes great courage for Vicky to follow me when she disagrees. In my opinion, you might have yours, I believe it takes more courage and more character to follow your authority when you disagree than it ever does to be that authority saying, follow me. That's don't patty cake, clap if you're going to clap real good. Amen. Amen. Praise God. So you don't have to do a thing I'm saying. Just live rough. Always be in heavy waves. And this and your kids, your father, your mother, your marriage, proper business, your ministry, your business. I hate big waves. I like smooth waters. Right? So you don't have to do anything the Bible says, neither do I. You got a choice. But if you want to live and blockade Satan, save your babies from the world, live a happy life, then ladies, you better get in your Bible, find out what God designed a wife to be. Not your opinion, not mine, not this church, not that church. What did God say a wife is? And how do you wife? Amen. How do I wife my man? And you better get it perfected. Because if you don't, I'm going to tell you again, you're asking Satan to strike. And he will. He don't care about you. The devil don't care about you. Get you to abandon the person you love and run after another one or some. Well, you know, I didn't mean to have sex with her. God told me this. I didn't mean to have sex with her, but she was so good to talk to. She listened to me. You fathead, demon-driven idiot. What are you talking about, man? Because he gave place to the devil. Here comes fiery darts flipping in. So, man up, guys. And I don't mean. You know, go ahead, pet your dog and beat your wife and see where that gets you. No, man up doesn't mean be rude and crude and harmful. Now, just keep calling her ugly and fat and stupid and watch what happens to your marriage. But if you manned up and went to God and went to the Bible and said, could you teach me, Jesus, how to husband my wife? That's why all women don't have to submit to anybody, you know, in this category. We all submit to God and church leadership, you know. But we don't, you women, you don't submit to every man. You submit to your husband as unto the Lord. Not every husband, just because you're female, you're second class or something. Your Bible doesn't teach you that. That's some religious thing. Huh. I am trying to get off on this, but I'm hoping to do it without calling 911 and getting some oxygen in here and some CPR or something, you know. I'm just trying to help you, because you can't live in the struggle in the darkness today without the anointing of Jesus Christ, even in your private life. The Bible, the anointing, was never meant just to have church. The Bible sometimes is treated like a church book. No, that's a hymnal. The Bible is for everyday life. The anointing is for everyday life. Praise God.
Amen.
Praise God.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Well, I don't know. I didn't even mean to exhort, but we did. So let's just pray a minute. You want to? Let's just pray in the Holy Ghost. Build yourself up by praying in the Holy Ghost. Father, I thank you. I'm just going to pray in English. You pray in the Holy Ghost. Father, help all of us husbands to get this anointing to husband our wife, to husband our wife, to break the yoke and the bondage and the burden, the fear, the insecurity off from our wife. To husband her as unto the Lord, biblically as unto the Lord. And Father, I thank you for every wife in here. I'm glad, Lord, for these young people that are engaged, are going to be engaged. They should hear this way before they say, I did or I do. I thank you. I pray for every wife that's hearing my voice. Here, television, internet, get this recording later. Same with the men. I pray for the wife. May they go to you, Jesus. And say, Jesus, anoint me to wife my husband. Because my husband is different than any other husband. And I'm only responsible to submit to my husband and wife my husband and get this weight and this nasty thing off from my husband. And I pray that. May we be fathers and not just men married with offspring. May we go to Jesus and say, anoint me to father my children. You moms, anoint me to mother my children. Because without it, good try. But with it, I need to tell you one more thing. Look up here, sir. I've heard parents all my life say, well, my parents did that to me, and I'm going to make sure I don't do that to my kids. Well, make sure before you make such a stand that your parents really were that wrong. And compared to you didn't like it. I would recommend, I had a guy say, well, you know, Uncle John told me to do it this way. Well, who's John compared to Jesus? Go to the Bible and don't rely upon all this other grassroots, hand-me-down philosophy. Go to the Bible, please. Go to the Bible, find out how to father, and ask God to anoint you. Find out how to mother, ask God to anoint you. Find out, how many times have I said this in the last 45 minutes? Ask God to anoint you to wife, and find out what a wife is. Ask God to anoint you to husband, find out what a husband is, according to God. And watch how the devil backs out of your life. And when he does, many things are affected. Usually the money goes up, peace comes down, joy and tickle and fun ends up in your life again. Life comes instead of depression. Why? Because when you give a place to the devil, he brings all the crud. He brings all the crud. Right? Lift your hands again. Lord, I'm going to pray you anoint all of us. I'm including me and Vicky, Lord. Anoint every single one of us with a fresh anointing to walk this out and to live the way you said to live, according to the way you said to live. And anoint us for it, because we can have all the knowledge, Lord, but unless you anoint us, the yoke will not be destroyed and the burden will hardly ever be lifted. And so we need you desperately in our everyday life. Pray in the Holy Ghost with me again. If you're not baptized in the Spirit, say, Lord, fill me now. Okay, I'm trying to shift gears, but look up here again. I want to help you. Husbands, do not leave this meeting and tell your wife, I told you so. Or see, even Doc Barclay agrees with me. That I wouldn't call that anointing. I'd call that an explosion. And same with you, women, wives. Don't, now all the way home. Men, you don't know how to wife. Quit trying to tell your wife how to wife you. You don't know. And there's no anointing for you to teach you how to wife. You have a Bible. Ladies, you don't know how to husband. You may know what you want. You may know what you even say, I need this, or I need this from you, honey. I wish you guys had listened, but then I wish women would listen. But the point is, you don't know how to husband, so quit trying to tell your husband how to husband. I blame God for everything we did tonight. I had no intention. This is all God. Now, I might not have said it right. I don't know. But it was all God. Can I have an amen on it, please? Here's what we're going to do now. I'm going to ask the Summerlins to come here as ministers. I'm going to ask the Randolphs to come, the Barclays to come. I'm going to ask, let's see, how many do we have to help me here? You guys come help me too. You do marriage things. Come on. Yeah. And you stand with me. Praise the Lord. Glad to have you, by the way. We're going to lay hands on people who are married. Just come right here. Get ready. Praise God. How many? 1, 4. Josh and Trish are coming. Vicky, you jump in anywhere you want to help us out. Praise God. I believe so much in the laying on of hands to transfer as a point of contact. I've seen many, many things change in people's lives when they've had hands laid upon them. Many things have changed in our life when we've had hands laid upon us. So tonight, if you want, in a moment, if you're married, now you don't have to be here as a couple. But if you are here as a couple, when you come up, you hold hands so the ministers know that you're a couple, because they'll pray a little bit different. But even if you're here and you're married and you want an anointing for that, you can still come up. Maybe you're here, your wife isn't, you're here, your husband isn't, or something like that. Then you can still come up. Nobody has to. And we're not just calling for marriages that are under siege. Or if you're just married. God knows if you're struggling. God knows if you're under attack. God knows if there's issues that you're not able to work out. We don't need to know all that. God knows all that. So we're not pointing, this isn't just for any certain thing. If you're married and you like to have the ministers lay hands on you, these are all pastoral type ministries and they're all anointed by God. And so it doesn't matter which one you come to. Don't pick out a personality, because it's just all the point of contact. Can I have any amens on that, please? One more time then. Lift your hands. Come on, everybody. Let's lift our hands to heaven. Father, I love you. I thank you. I praise you. By the laying on of hands, we're going to put an anointing on all married couples, all marriage covenants, I meant to say, all marriage covenants in the name, you two come up here and help me, you two up here, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Please don't be dismissed. I like to ask you that. We don't know what all yet the Lord has for us. It's still early. It's just past 8:30-ish. And so stick with us. And if you don't come up, then just pray for who does. And if you're in line, pray until you get up here, then hush. You can't talk, sing, and receive at the same time. We're not built that way. So you can pray, ask God that when you come up here, it's time to be quiet and just say, I receive it, and they'll lay a hand upon you for it. Now, ushers, make sure you're working with the preachers. Preachers, don't lay hands on anybody until you're looking in the eyes of an usher, okay? And here we go. Stand with me, please. I'm asking you not to dismiss yourself, but stick with us to see what all God has for us. Amen. Amen. I hope my exhortation was good tonight and it helped you. That's what I hope. I hope it helps. Praise God. All right. We ready? We got ushers. We're good to go. All right, here we go. Come on. If you're a couple, or excuse me, if you're married, come on if you want us to minister to you. Again, if you're together, hold hands when you stand in front of the preachers in Jesus' name. Josh, just be led and sing and worship, and it'll bring a heavy anointing into the house.
Jesus, name above all names, beautiful Savior, glorious Lord, Emmanuel, God is with us. Blessed be building words. Jesus, for the name above all names, beautiful Savior, glorious Lord, God is with us, blessed Redeemer,
anointing
Thank you.
Amen. Team, if you're married, put the instrument down and come down here. Even if we don't have any music, it's okay. We got the anointing in the house. You deserve to be anointed as much as anybody. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Safala mando la blaste. Samando la bahata la bashakata. Se condo la mosnum go de li blesteke. So famande ke la mondo la blesteke. Lefa, se manona, le bondola, ke tole mese, lefa shaka kalama, le bondola masta kandola blista, fleso, yonginda, le botele, la palato, la pata, la keto. So, yeah, soma, sheke le mande le mosa. Sabatola mosto kosho, kotola masi katela This is not just a nifty thing to do. This anointing's going on you, and it's going in you, and it'll be like glue sticking to your marriage covenant. It will not leave your marriage covenant. It'll work and 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 make things stronger and stronger and stronger and stronger and stronger. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Sakato la mashakata. Sakando la mashakata. Levolindo Those of you that have been prayed over, take a moment now and just tell Jesus, I receive it and I'm never letting it go. You start to tell him that, Lord, I receive this anointing to help us and I'm never going to let it go. I'm never going to let it go. I'm never going to let it go. Those of you that have been prayed over, you say, Lord, I am going to go to my Bible and I'm going to discover what my role in life is, and I'm going to blockade the devil from ever messing with my home again. Did you hear me? Did you hear me? That's what you do. Do it right now in your own language. Lord, I'm going to my Bible. I'm going to learn my role in life, and Satan is never going to get in our home again. Sakabata. Now I pray for all of you streaming, internet, television, even if you get this recording later, may this anointing get on your marriage covenant. It'll stick to you like glue. God's not a schizo. He doesn't just come and go. This is going to stay on you, just like it is us. It's going to stay on you in the name of Jesus. And it's going to get better and better and better and better and better. Satan will not have our marriages. Satan will not live in our houses. Satan will not speak between us. Satan will have no audience. We will be anointed to be husband. We'll be anointed to be wife. We will be anointed to be father. We will be anointed to be mother. In the name, in the powerful name of Jesus, according to the Holy Scriptures. According to the Holy Scriptures. Shakatola moseke to mashtakala mashata. Sakado le batale mashtakala. please be seated to congregation. We're not in a hurry. We'll let everybody finish up properly. Yes. 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 Just feel his presence. Don't we love it? Time, Josh. Come on, let's honor him. Let's honor his presence. You all in the spirit like that. be seated. God bless you. Where's the young man I was going to have testify? Sergeant, come over here. Thank you. Come right up here. I know. It's not as easy as it looks, is it? Take this. See, this is a microphone you talked into there.
Yes, sir.
I know you used to badges and guns and handcuffs, but now you've been believing for something for quite a while, and after the Shunammite offering last night, tell us a little story.
For about 3 years, we've been believing for a promotion, and for whatever reason, it just hasn't happened. And after last night's service and the offering, I think it took less than 24 hours, got a phone call today, 4 o'clock, with a promotion.
So, we now can call you Sergeant?
Here.
Sergeant. I love you. God bless you, man. Hey, and thanks for keeping us all safe. We have a high... Hallelujah. All right. This is Pastor Chuck Eveline from Indiana. Pastor Jeremy File from Amarillo. Mark Barclay from Midland, Michigan. Pretty good, huh? They're going to receive an offering tonight. They ask if they could. Well, Chuck asked if he could, and we drafted Jeremy. He's always willing. So they're going to talk to you a few minutes. We'll receive an offering. We'll see what else God has for us. Say this, never again. I don't have stuff to say it. Think about what you're saying. Then say it. Never again. Will Satan or any demons be in my marriage covenant, in my home, or between me and my kids? In the name of Jesus. That's what this anointing was for. It wasn't just for tonight to build you up. It may have, because the anointing is that powerful. It can do multiple things. Say it again. Never again will Satan be in our marriage covenant, in our home, between me and my kids. In the name of Jesus. All right. Give the pastors a good hand clap. Praise God. Hallelujah. And amen.
Hallelujah. Hasn't this conference been awesome? Amen. God is so good. And it is our honor tonight. Well, let me say this first. I think most of you know the budget was completely met last night. Hallelujah. And this morning, I woke up pretty early. And the Lord said, since the budget's met, receive an honor offering for pastor. And I know he's not everyone's pastor, but he's my pastor. And I understand this is something he lets us do. I just didn't call him up and say, Pastor, we're going to do an honor offering. No. But at the same time, he didn't call me up and say, would you do an honor offering? It's not something he seeks. I asked him very humbly. Said, I believe the Lord said this. Can we do this? Let me pray about it. I was raised in church, but not a church where honor was shown. I didn't learn honor until I got connected with Pastor Barclay back in 06. And since then, again, our life has been completely changed because of honor. I've heard him say many times before, if honor is in you, honor will come out of you. You know, the Bible says in 1 Samuel, God said, those that honor me, I will honor. And when we honor the man of God, well, where did he come from? Who did he? He came from God. When I honor him, I honor God. And therefore, God will honor us. And we've seen that time and time again over the last 15 years. Again, this is not something pastor seeks, but the Lord reminded me of what Paul wrote to Philippians. He said, I'm not looking for just a gift from you, but I'm looking for fruit that will abound to your account. And so I know when Pastor receives this offering, him and Mrs. Barkley will take, they'll pray over it and believe for all of us that sow into this offering to be blessed and as we have blessed them. As he ministered to me, the Lord ministered to me this morning about doing this. He brought this story to me. It's in 1 Samuel 9, if you want to look there. Most of you know it, I'm sure. It's where Saul, who would become king, was out looking for his father's donkeys. They're lost. And they've looked and they've looked and they've looked and they can't find the donkeys. In verse 5 it says, "And when they come to the land of Zuph, Saul said to his servant that was with him, 'Come, let us return, lest my father leave caring for the donkeys and take thought for us.'" So then out a while. They've been looking for a while. Saul's to the point saying, "We need to go home because dad's going to be more concerned with thou." Saul's to the point saying, "We need to go home because dad's going to be more concerned with us being missing than the donkeys being missing." And he said unto him, "Behold, now there is in this city a man of God. And he's an honorable man. All that he says comes to pass. Let us go there. Perhaps he can show us our way that we should go." Let me stop here just a minute. We have a man of God. He is an honorable man. A man of God. He is an honorable man. Amen. What he says comes to pass. Now, I'm not just talking about the prophetic words. If he gives you his word, it's going to happen. And it may not happen today, but if he says he will do something, he will do it. He is an honorable man. And again, the helper to Saul said, "Maybe we should go see this man." Then Saul said to his servant, "But behold, if we go, what shall we bring the man? For the bread is spent in our vessels." In other words, it's all gone. "And there's not a present to bring to the man of God. What do we have?" The servant answered Saul again and said, "Behold, I have here at hand the fourth part of a shekel of silver. That will I give to the man of God to tell us our way. Before time in Israel, when a man went to inquire of God, thus he spake, 'Come and let us go to the seer. For that is now, for he that is now called a prophet was before time called a seer.'" They're not going to Samuel for a psychic reading. They're not going to pay him, you know, like, let's call Madam Faye. Maybe we'll pay her something and she'll help us out. No, let's go to the man of God. Now, I had this question. Why did they wait to last to go to the man of God? Why didn't they go to the man of God first thing? Because if they had, they would have still had bread. And they would have had all the things that Saul says we're out of. We've used it up. So we should always go to our man of God first. Not wait until, "Oh, well, it's so bad now. Maybe we should pray. Oh, has it come to that? Maybe we should go to church. Maybe we should see the preacher. Oh, it is pretty bad. Maybe we should do that before it gets pretty bad." But what jumped out at me was in verse 7 when he said, "There is not a present to bring to man." He didn't say a tithe. He didn't say offering. He said, we need to take the man of God a present, a gift. And that's what we're doing tonight. We're bringing a present, a gift, to Pastor and Mrs. Barclay. This is not a church offering. This is not so you can get a tax write-off. This is a personal gift to Pastor and Mrs. Barclay. And you know the rest of this story. Samuel told him, "Go on, donkeys are okay." And so they got the answer they were looking for. But then also this opened the door, and of course Saul ended up being king, and again, you know the rest of that story. But again, tonight, what are we doing? We're bringing a present. We're bringing a gift. We're honoring a man. He didn't say a tithe. He didn't say an offering. He said, we're going to We need to take the man of God a present, a gift. And that's what we're doing tonight. We're bringing a present, a gift to Pastor Miss. This is not her offering. This is not so you can get a tax draw. This is a personal gift to Pastor and Mrs. Barclay. And you know the rest of the story. Samuel told him, go on home, the donkeys are okay. And so they got the answer they were looking for. But then also this opened the door. Of course, Saul ended up being king. And again, you know the rest of that story. But again, tonight, what are we doing? We're bringing a present. We're bringing a gift. We're honoring the man and woman of God. And again, I just want to encourage you, be it large or be it small. Samuel didn't say, oh, that's not enough. I can't help you. No, he just received it. And he told him what to do. I'm going to get more out of my man of God. I'm going to get more answers out of my man of God. Not because talking to him personally, through like what he did here tonight. If I'm showing him honor, if I'm bringing him presents, and he doesn't ask me to bring him anything. But most times when I see my pastor's not like a lot of your pastors. I don't see him three times a week. I see him a few times a year in person. But when I see him, I bring some type of a gift. That's an honor thing. And I believe because we do that, we open our spirit man up to hear more clearly what the man of God says. Amen? Because again, God said, who you honor, if you honor me, I'll honor you. What does he honor us with? Well, with gifts of our own, but with understanding and wisdom and knowledge. So Pastor and Mrs. Barclay, we love you. We appreciate you. We thank you. Thank you for doing these conferences. Amen. And thank you for allowing us to do this tonight because I know you received it, but we're helping ourselves. We're helping ourselves by doing this. And so again, if you want to help yourself tonight, be a blessing to the man of God. You'll get the answers you're looking for. Amen. Praise God. Pastor Jeremy.
Great job, Pastor Evelyn. That's powerful. Honor is a system that God set up. And he made that statement just now. And anything you do for your pastor, you're actually doing for yourself. What that means when you honor your pastor or you honor those that are laboring over you in the Lord. And he may not be your pastor, but he's already labored this week. What we received, such as this morning, and every other service, but this morning, I love it when the Lord allows Pastor to tell us those stories and those details. There's no amount of money that we could place on that, guys, how valuable that is. But honor is something that the Lord talked about. He made the statement, you know, you've heard the verse in 1 Samuel, where he says, those that honor me, I will honor. The reason I honor Dr. Barclay, people have told me this so many times, well, you're into man worship. I'm like, man, you just don't get it. You just don't get it. I honor God, and because I honor God, I honor the one that he put over me as my pastor. Yeah. And I just wanted to notice, my dad was talking to me today on the way back this morning session. And he said, I sure wish I could rewind time and honor my pastors. They've all gone to heaven. He said, I sure wish I could go back. I would treat them better than I treated them. I got to thinking about that. And Pastor asked me if I would share for just a minute. I just don't let your moment of visitation pass you by. 4 years later, you say, I wish in meetings like that, I'd hear about it. Maybe, I don't know how it hits you. Some people, you know, they get angry about it. That's a problem you're going to have to get fixed because you're blockading yourself from receiving everything that God wants to do in your life. I've just noticed this. The more I honor who God connected me with, the more God gets involved in my life and my ministry. It's amazing. It's really amazing. Somebody asked me, what's the secret, man? Accelerate Church is popping. It's hopping, man. What's going on? I said, I honor the man that God put in my life. And I will tell you right now, I moved out of another organization I was a part of and had a lot of favor with. And it hit me one day. That is a great man of God. I have no shade to cast on that man at all in that organization. But here's what I know. I wasn't called to him. He wasn't called to be my pastor. That was Dr. Barclay. And professionally as a pastor, see, it didn't make much sense because I had inroads to different people, such as being flown to Washington, D.C., sit down with even Ted Cruz and have my little talking points. I can't do that. Just a pastor from the sticks of Amarillo, right? So it seems like professionally this has me set up, and the Lord was dealing with me. No, I connected you with Dr. Barclay. He's your pastor. And besides this, the further I go up the chain in this other organization, the more they're wanting me to fly here or go here or do this. Guess what? One man can't go everywhere, so I start missing my pastor's conferences. Well, as soon as I cut all that out, I said, I'm here. And every time I receive an impartation, I come with my notebook. I'm ready to receive every time. And why? Because honor is not just an offering that we're going to give. Offering is a lifestyle that we have to live. So my dad shared that with me today, and I thought, man, I want to tell all of you, don't look back and regret. You have a moment like this. He's allowing us to do this in this meeting. If you don't like it, it rubs you wrong. Just keep your money, stingy thing. That's how I talk. In Texas, you know, we're just kind of straightforward. But if you want God to get involved, you better start honoring. I'm going to read a scripture, one scripture, but I want to say this because I sit down with another father. I have three. My dad's right here, Pastor Barclay. I know who's who. Another pastor is in my life, and he came and spent some time with me, and he said this, and I'll never forget it. And I want you to catch this. The quality of a father-son relationship is in the character of the son. I have literally been thinking about this ever since. I'm going to repeat this. The quality of a father-son relationship is in the character of the son. So if you say and recognize the anointing that's on Dr. Barclay's life and say, this is a man of God, but you don't have the character to honor what you're saying is a man of God, wow, what does that say about your relationship, truly? I want to repeat that. I just want you to chew on it because I've been chewing on it for months now. He said that, and I had to pick my wig up off the floor and put it back on and flip my wig right off the top of my head. I said, I don't wear a wig, by the way, but it's just a saying. The quality of a father-son relationship is in the character of the son. Honor is a demonstration of character. Here's the scripture, 1 Thessalonians 5. You've heard it. Says, know them which labor among you, verse 12, and are over you in the Lord. I salute Dr. Barclay. He's over me in the Lord. Hey, it's not about who you're over. It's about who you're under. It's not about who you're over. It's who you're under. Think about that. If you stay under the authority that God's connected you with, and you stay under the authority of Jesus Christ, Satan will stay under feet. But you get outside of that, he may roll right over you. Know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord. And listen to this. Those that admonish you. Now, if you didn't catch this tonight, this was an admonishment, an instruction. That's what that means. An instruction on how to make marriage work. Folks, the nation is, it can't be any stronger than the households in the nation. The church can't be any stronger than the households in the church. This tonight saved households. I believe that. I really do. So I appreciate this instruction. And listen to this. And esteem them just a little bit. Now, I like to say that's the confused believers version, CBV. You're confused. People, I don't know what all this is about, man worship. No, the Bible. It's just about Bible. Instructions for living. Esteem them very highly. Very highly. What your Bible says. So here's your opportunity to do it tonight. Praise God. Maybe you didn't come prepared for that. I want to repeat what Pastor Evelyn said. This is a personal gift, so this is not one you get a tax write-off for. So if you're making out your check, you need to make it to Mark Barclay. If you need an envelope because you don't have any other way to give, can we pass envelopes? I didn't clear that. That's what we need to do. The ushers, do you have envelopes? If you don't have any other way, you can do this. The instructions are here on the screen. I just want to pray. Can I pray while you hand out the envelopes? If you need an envelope, raise your hand. Make sure you get an usher's attention. Father, thank you. Thank you for the general, the man of God, the one that labors and is over us in the Lord, Dr. Mark Barclay. I thank you for sending him here and allowing me to be here to receive this impartation, Lord. I pray that he would be honored and through this you would be honored. As we honor the man of God, Lord, our eyes are on you. That's why we do what we do. We honor you in all that we do. In the mighty name of Jesus. Do you agree with that? Say amen then. Praise God. Praise God. How do you want us to receive this? Buckets up here. Praise the Lord.
Not already, if you'd stand to your feet. Father, we thank you for this night, what you've done already in this meeting, Jesus. Showing up, moving in so many different ways. We thank you right now for Doc Barclay and the opportunity for us to be able to sow into his life. We thank you for that, Jesus. Mighty name. Amen and amen. A couple quick announcements. Tomorrow morning, 10:30. Tomorrow night, 6:15 for prayer. Our final service tomorrow night at 7 o'clock. So you don't want to miss those couple last opportunities. I'm telling you, if you have not been here for pre-service prayer, you need to come out tomorrow night and be part of entering into a new atmosphere. All senior preachers and RPN members, we do have a little birthday fellowship little cake thing that we're doing to celebrate Doc's 70th birthday. Yeah, it's pretty awesome. So come if you can and be part of that for a few minutes. Amen. All right, we'll see you tomorrow. God bless. All right.
Welcome, welcome, welcome. It is good. It is good. It is good. It is good to have been here for this meeting tonight. I believe that's one of the simplest messages that you'll ever hear on marriage. And profound, simple, and yet liberating. And of course, and tonight, women, your husband is a rooster. Don't treat him like a hen. I thought that was a classic of all the words I've ever heard Dr. Barclay speak. I have to say, that is one of the best right there. And a powerful, powerful message on marriage, that little book he wrote about Vicky and wife. It is truly a little book. It's a mini book, but very powerful. And so I encourage you. I encourage you to listen to this message again. We'll have the link of it available in the family thread. And if you go to YouTube, you can search Holy Spirit Conference, Gold Coast, Florida, Thursday night. And you'll find this message on YouTube, and it'll be a blessing to you. The anointing that was on the worship was absolutely amazing. And then, of course, the anointing on the word is also amazing. And I know that they were receiving an offering for Dr. Barclay. If you give in that offering, that's up to you. As is always the case in everything we do, there's no push, no pull to give an offering. And yet, if it's in your heart, then always obey God with what he tells you to do. But I love to see this body of believers function. These guys are amazing. And of course, I've been a part of it many, many times. Been to Holy Spirit conferences and personally attended them every year, two of them a year, and to be able to see them work and see how everything works here is just amazing. And I always like to show it whenever we're on live. I like to have everybody see it clear to the end because it gives you an idea of how ministry functions. And now, some of you, they've been speaking about SMTI all week. If that's something that would be in your heart to do, that is a very, very powerful school, Supernatural Ministry Training Institute. And it's not ecclesiastical. It's not philosophical. It's not homiletical or hermeneutical, to coin the phrases from Brother Jesse DePlantis. This is a health school that teaches you how to help your pastor do the work that he's doing. And whatever level you are in ministry, this is a school that helps you. Your number one grade is on how you help your pastor throughout the year. And so if that's something that's in your heart, you can talk to us. We can show you how to do it. It's life-changing. I took SMTI in 94 and 95 and 96, and it forever changed my life right there on the spot in those 3 years. Somebody asked me one day what I felt about SMTI. I said, I feel like they're pouring cement in my shoes like I've never had. You guys get the benefit of SMTI because, of course, you received from me and I received from Dr. Barclay. But I'm telling you, you would thoroughly enjoy it if that's something that's in your heart. And I can show you how to do that. There is a cost for it because it is a Bible college level instruction, but it would be very beneficial and be much of a blessing to you. And so there. I enjoy you seeing the spiritual connection I've had in my life. This man has been my pastor now for almost 30 years. And that's pretty amazing to be able to say you've had the same pastor for that many years in a row. And, you know, he made that statement down there toward the end. See if I can find it here. Takes more faith to be in agreement and to follow when you disagree with the direction they're going. But keep walking and keep following. Very interesting to see how the enemy fights to stop the work of God. And thank you. Thank you for being here with us tonight in Jesus' mighty name. Now, we still got about 22 minutes left. We can answer a question, ask a question, on any of this. Sister Mary, Pastor Rick got knocked off the chair, but thank you. Jumped right up and got back on. Good job, Mary.
Thank you.
How you doing, ma'am? We've been praying for you.
Adjusting to my new life seems different.
It's very different, isn't it?
Amen. Sure is.
It's very different. You do sound rested, though.
Yeah. I'm laying here listening to you. It's relaxing.
All right.
I listened to it last night, too. I liked that one last night.
Yeah. Yeah.
Good one.
Well, let's all pray for Mary right now. Father, in the name of Jesus, this point of life is not always easy for everyone who finds themselves there. And Mary's done an anointed wife duty and responsibility to care for Don. And we've all watched it. And now we speak life and health and strength to her body and to Don's body. That we would be able to live a long and healthy life. With long life, you will satisfy us. There's no way we can live long if we're sick and be satisfied. And so we speak with long life that you satisfy Mary and Don and their families. We declare every question and confusion be wiped away and that courage be found to take the next step and do exactly what needs to be done. Bless Mary and all of the details that she's continually putting together. We declare that this property is sold.
Oh,
and that the deal is done and the restaurant is sold and it comes in perfectly with an abundant provision in Mary's life so that all that pressure is offered back. We command it to be done now in the mighty name of Jesus. And immediate answers for our sister. And Father, every seed that Mary has sown throughout her lifetime, because her heart is so willing to be a blessing. We know that according to the book of Psalms, you never forget a seed. And in the mighty name of Jesus, may Mary receive the harvest of the seed she's sown throughout her life. And she receive it. May every hundredfold return that belongs to her come to her. And the blessing of the Lord, that makes abundantly blessed in every area of her life come. May your relationship with her children and Don's children be perfect.
Amen.
We declare it, Lord. We're not just asking. We're declaring. May the blessing of the Lord be upon her life all the days of her life. You said that your blessing would come up on us and overtake us. And we're looking for that miracle every day in our sister's life. And Jesus, we give you the honor. And we give you the glory. And we give you the praise that the peace of God, which passes all understanding, rules her heart and her mind in Jesus. In your mighty name we pray. In your mighty name we pray. Father, I bless everyone here in the community of faith, been faithful, faithful people, to stand with us, stand beside this work, and faithfully discharge the dues to come and hear and grow and study and learn, but also hold the line in faith to pray for the United States of America. And thank you for the victory that we receive today from the Supreme Court. Thank you, Lord, that you instructed this group of believers to pray for revival in the Supreme Court. And now, Lord, we've got a ruling that is a 6-3. It's not quite unanimous, but we are getting much, much closer to unanimous. And we give you glory, and we give you honor, and we give you the praise. Thank you, Lord, that this gathering of believers, this ecclesia, this body of Christ, this governing body of authority can shout hallelujah that we have held the line, stood in faith, and this victory belongs to this group of believers right here because we've stood in faith. I bless them, Lord, all over the world, all over in every one of the continents, North America, South America, Central America, Greenland, Iceland, Europe, Russia, China, Asia, all across Australia, New Zealand, South America, Africa, all around, even if there's someone down there with the penguins in Antarctica. We bless them now tonight, and we thank you for their partnership and their friendship. And we declare today that your blessing is on their life and manifest form in Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' mighty name. Thy will be done on this earth in our lives as it is in heaven. In Jesus' mighty name. Jesus' mighty name. Well, a minute ago, I said if you have a question or something that you wanted to say about tonight or help this message or something from this week, feel free to say it now. Ask it now. As long as it's not about, you know, did the grass turn green at your house? Well, we want to stay on where we are right here.
So what happened with the Supreme Court? I was busy and I didn't hear it.
Oh, they handed down a ruling. You ready for this? A 143-page ruling that declares the Second Amendment is for citizens to own weapons so the government cannot overthrow them. And that was today. Now watch this. You may not have seen this yet. They got two landmark decisions that they're making. That first one was gun control. The next one is abortion. And isn't it something that they made their first ruling on gun control before all the wackos go crazy with abortion so that we all have the ability to defend ourselves and the Supreme Court will say not guilty if somebody gets shot?
Amen.
That, my friends, is an answer to your prayer and my prayer, saying revival in the Supreme Court every time we prayed it and said it. You want to give yourself a high five? Glory be to God. I thank you, Jesus, that you gave us the courage to pray even when others didn't want to pray and left us because we prayed about it. It's all right. I've been shouting glory ever since I saw the Fox News report pop up on my YouTube and I listened to it. I'm like, are you kidding me? Jesus is Lord. He's working in our lives right here, right now.
And it was such a pleasure to pray.
I don't get it, Phyllis.
We are rewarded in every way because it was a pleasure to pray. And it's a wonder and it's a pleasure to know that God heard us. We knew we were praying for what was right. And now we have the pat on the back that, hey, yeah, we're partners.
I'm kind of crazy. And I like to get up and run around, but if I get up and run around, I'm fixing to knock something over here in our studio room, and I can't do that. So I have to just sit here and go, whoa!
I'm getting used to that.
I might step on the dog, and I wouldn't want to do that. He's a nice dog. And the cat comes in and lays on my feet. I kick him out from underneath the desk all the time, the poor thing, but he keeps coming back, so it must not be too bad.
It's okay for you to shout.
Think about what Phyllis just said. We were rewarded on the spot because we prayed. Because that's obedient. When you're willing and obedient, you get the good of the land. You eat the good of the land. And there's a lot of prayers that we've prayed that to the natural eye, they don't seem like they're being answered. But you and I know they are. And you and I being faithful to it is one of the greatest examples of and the faith process. I declare unanimous decisions from the Supreme Court that blows the socks off of every one of these wicked people that's trying to destroy this nation.
Amen.
And you know what? With these guys coming out like this, 6-3, that's an overwhelming majority. That's not a 5-4. That's an overwhelming majority. We now have a Supreme Court that has the ability to say, we will no longer legislate from the bench. You've committed treason, you hang. You've committed treason, you hang. You've committed treason, you hang. And they go through this nation and rid us of the wicked, perverse people that have tried to destroy this nation. May God give them the courage to take the next step up and the American people to stand right there beside them and behind them and along with them and say, sir, it's like one day I was with the Amish. I used to drive the Amish a lot in Michigan. And I always loved it because they eat the best food. They always paid the best mileage. And you hang out with some really good folks and stay at the farm, see some great horses and amazing farms. I loved it. I'm driving with the Amish one day. I don't remember. Something happened somewhere in the world and there was a serial killer or something. So I said to the leading Amish guy who was sitting in the passenger seat in the front of the van, I'm like, so what do you guys say about this? And he goes, oh, he's a very, very wise, astute man, you know. He said, well, not everybody sees it like me. I'm like, yeah, how do you see it? He said, well, I would look at him and say, you're guilty. And we're not wasting all this court money on you. You're guilty, and you know you are. So you have 365 days to get your heart right with God. Here's the Bible. Get right with God. And I would show up on the 364th day and say, you now have 364 days. Here's your Bible. Get right with God because what you did was wrong. And I'm like, I didn't think you guys thought that. He said, justice is justice. And violence against another man's life is violence against another man's life. And I'm way off my subject of happy marriages. So somebody quick, ask a question to get us refocused again. Now, let me say this about the Second Amendment thing. You know what's cool about it? California, wait a second. I wrote the list down. California, New York, Delaware, Illinois, New Jersey, Rhode Island, and there's one more, Connecticut, I think, all have to change their gun laws immediately because what they've done is made an unconstitutional law. How awesome is that? Guess what's going to happen to the murder rate in Chicago? It's going to go down. Guess what's going to happen to the murder rate in New York City? It's going to go down. Thank you, Jesus. You have heard our prayer, and you have stood behind our Constitution because we did. Woo! Somebody ask another question real quick because I'm fired up.
I guess I missed that. You say we got the right to carry weapons. All of that makes murder rate go down. What did I miss?
Well, in New York City and in Chicago, it's against the law to have a handgun.
They just made that ruling?
Oh, that's been that way for years. So therefore, who has handguns in Chicago? The wicked, the perverse, the criminals who don't care about your law. And now that it'll be legal for anyone to have one on them, the criminals are going to all back down, just like they do in every other state. The worst murder rates are where there's the strictest gun laws. That's a simple fact all the way across the United States of America. Our schools, watch this, our schools will even be protected now. And it'll be able to be done very simply. See, the framers of the Constitution didn't want everybody packing a weapon on them everywhere they went. They wanted you to be able to defend yourself against the wicked government that's trying to overthrow you. Communism, socialism, Marxism got a punch in the teeth today like they haven't had in many years. Are you ready for this? Thank you for praying the prayer against the isms that you and I have faithfully said the same words every single time. Thank you. Thank you. They got their punch in the teeth today because they don't know what they can do now. And now our prayer is, protect every Supreme Court justice, protect their house, protect their families, protect their children, protect them in every way. And may the mayor and the governor of the cities and the states where they live protect them to the nth degree. And everyone who violates that, may they be thrown immediately in jail and in prison and even tried severely. Our Constitution does not allow all this wickedness and perversion. Unruly judges do that are not men and women of God. Woo! We done fell off the creek bed, creek. Wow. Anyways, you know what I'm trying to say.
I'll be happy when they put prayer back in school.
Well, regardless of what they said, every time there's a test, there's prayer in school, and every time there's a shooting, everybody prays.
You know it.
Ain't no way. You can't take prayer out of school.
Yeah, as long as they're a test in school, there's going to be prayer. Maybe not verbally.
Yeah. But I agree, Mary. I agree. And the great men and women of God who have never backed down a single day from it, God bless them. It's like when COVID happened in Colorado. I don't know if you ever saw this story, but 70 pastors in Colorado, which is one of the most liberal states when you're around Denver and in the big cities, 70 pastors said to the governor, you ain't stopping our church. And you can't put all of us in jail at the same time. And 70 of them got together and said, we're not going to stop church. We're going to keep having church, and you're not going to stop us. You can't tell us no. And they never stopped having church. And they didn't throw them in jail. And they didn't throw them in prison because they know they can't. And our challenge is that we, you and I don't back down. You know, I've had to learn how to figure out how to function with these guys here, but hey, guess what? We've done it, and God's done it, and thank God for it. Kind of like a moment of silence.
I thought he was very smart tonight.
Yeah, highly anointed. Highly anointed. Well, if all of your fathers of the faith have been married over 50, 60 years, you ought to be able to make it yourself that way. If you listened. Yeah, probably so, Felicia. Probably so. But let's get to prayer. Let's get prayer back in school. You know what? We don't need everybody in the school to stop and pray. Jesus was never that way. Jesus didn't force people to pray. We just need them to stop saying the Satanists can meet in school, but the Christians can't. That's what prayer in school has got to be. And yes, if the kids want to have a Bible study after school, give them a room. Your mom and dad pays for it with their tax dollars. The S in Illinois is silent. I was making a point. I was making a point, Kathy. Illinois, it's a whole lot of noise. It's a whole lot of noise. You know, you asked that question, Miriam. I was driving through, when Sister Lynn and I was driving through Chicago that time when we got hit on the expressway. And the guy, we kind of bounced cars and he took off down the road. He never even slowed down. He hammered down. And the cop showed up. He called me on the phone from the 911 number and said, no, I'm not going to meet you out there on the side of the highway. Pull off at the next exit. There's a convenience store there. So we did. And he's out walking around, and I gave him my driver's license and everything. And I said, sir, I'm from Michigan, and whenever something like this happens, I'm supposed to declare to you that I have a weapon. And I don't know what Illinois' law is on that, so I'm just letting you know because I'm an honest man. He said, well, you've already said too much. I don't need to have any more. And do you have it on you? I said, no, it's in the trunk. It's safe. He said, that's not a good idea. You should have it on you. So, I mean, think about this fact. The Supreme Court today just made every police officer's job extremely easier. Because if the greatest law of the land is going to uphold every man has the right to protect what's his, the police officer's job just became very easy. Because now you don't have the right to say, I'm mad, so I get to tear down your business. But they made a serious ruling today to change American history. Man, I keep trying to get office. Can somebody ask another question?
So does that mean if there's rioters, the citizens have a right to protect their property?
Yes, ma'am.
Wow, amen.
That's why I said it's very interesting, very wise court to make that ruling first before they put out their ruling to overturn Roe versus Wade. Because they've been saying, we're going to do violence, we're going to do violence, we're going to do violence. And the court said, well, all right, I'm going to let everybody have their weapons, do your violence. Because if you die, You were dying doing violence, committing a felony, a crime. And now a felony is going to be a felony. And they just set communism, socialism, and Marxism on its backside in a very, very powerful force with a major punch. And now you and I got to pray harder than we've ever prayed, because there's going to be some dumb folks that's going to, you know, like the military says, it's not my assignment to judge a man, just to set up the meeting. God does the judging. Somebody just left. Somebody got booted up.
It was Dan.
Come back, Dan and Gwen. We love you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. What a wonderful night. Now, for those of you that are listening to us talk about the Second Amendment, and if you don't know what that's all about with us, this group of people right here, this very tight-knit group of community of faith partners have been praying for the United States of America every day for 2 years. And a serious prayer, not just, oh, Lord, bless us. We've been very seriously praying. And you know what happens when you seriously obey God in prayer? Then you seriously get an answer that you can say, I was very faithful. This is my answer. Yeah, Kathy, I don't see anybody else over there with you, but just, you know, hold down the fort, because you never know who might show up. You never know. You know, maybe Brother Donald Trump might show up. Just join us over there on Facebook and say something to us. I know. Some of you don't like him, but that's all right. A mean text and $2 a gallon for fuel would be really nice right now. And $2 a gallon for fuel. And stop buying oil from Russia and all of our enemies, and just go ahead and use America. I think
reading somebody else's text.
Okay.
You did say text, right? Some people don't like the text that the president made.
Yeah.
Some just don't need anybody to be on text. I'm started practicing blocking people.
Seems to work, doesn't it?
Yeah.
If you don't want to see what they're saying, just block them.
Yeah, I've been ignoring people all my life.
Wait, I don't know what that word is, Phyllis. Can you spell ignorant? How did you say that? Ignorant?
Ignoring people? Yeah, like I had 400. What do you think I was supposed to learn? I know that.
All right, three cheers for Dan and Gwen. This is three cheers for Dan and Gwen. Hip, hip.
Hooray.
Hip, hip.
Hooray.
Hip, hip.
Hooray.
Hallelujah. Yeah, that's an interesting. Now, for those of you that may have missed it, Sister Phyllis just had a very wise word of wisdom. If all else fails, just ignore them.
That's why she's so happy. Now, honey, let me tell you, the happy part, I've been a widow for 46 years. And the reason why I've been a widow for 46 years was because I was too smart to marry some guy just because he says, I think we ought to get married. So why? I've got a large enough family. Thank you. Okay.
I think that God's going to send you a really nice husband, Phyllis.
When I get to heaven, the truth of the matter is there will be no marrying or getting married in heaven. So, I'm sorry. Well, no, I'm not sorry, because people are going to be completely happy without all that mess and bother. All right, and I've said enough. That's enough. I'm sorry. I shouldn't have butted in. We had a very good lesson tonight.
That's awesome. Well, anyways, glory be to God. And we're glad you're here. I'm so have all y'all's faith with us for all this time. Because we have done the work of God, and we are seeing that work produce amazing answers. And thank you. You know, do we have more mountains we're conquering? Yeah. But I learned something really powerful from that, the message we heard from Dr. Winston last week when he was at Nancy Dufresne's camp meeting. He said, when I first came to the faith message, I didn't have enough faith to buy a suit. You know, like a coat and pants and a tie. Well, and with him, it would always be a vest. He'd always have a vest with it, too. He likes a three-piece. But he learned how to use faith like a wrench, like a mechanic uses a wrench. And today, faith to buy a mall. Now, that's not saying you got to go buy them all. That's saying follow those who through faith and patience have learned how to inherit the promises that God's done for all of us in our lives. And, you know, you and I may sit here tonight and say, wait a minute, I don't have all this down yet. And we don't. But this is what we do know. We are closer today than we've ever been. And our hearts are more open because religiosity's been broken off of us. And we're open. Jesus, show me what the Bible actually says. Show me what the Bible actually says. And may I truly understand who you are in this book and walk with you. You know, all right, I got 5 minutes, and we're going to take communion in 5 minutes. So watch this. I was on YouTube yesterday, and I'm always looking for more amazing worship experiences for us to enjoy during our afternoon worship. And it's not just good songs, because there's many of them, but some of them, it just doesn't work for a worship. But anyways, and one of the, I don't know, I don't remember what song it was, but it was one of the modern worship songs. There was a guy that had a YouTube video about all of the heresy in the song. And I thought, well, I don't think that song has any heresy in it. But I didn't know the background behind the song or anything. So I thought, well, I'll just listen to this video. I don't usually listen to videos where people are yakking against another minister or something, because that's just the spirit of division and the spirit of witchcraft that's causing confusion. And I'm not going to be a part of it. I don't care if it's a preacher doing it. And there's some pretty big preachers that do it. And they've made a pretty good sized ministry out of their slamming other preachers. And when you get to heaven, that's going to be a really rough day in heaven. There's never a place in any place in the Bible that gives you that authority to do that as a man of God. And you're going to stand before Jesus and going to get punched. All right, Jesus ain't going to punch you, but all your work's going to be tried by fire, burn up, and you're not going to have any less. So I'm watching this video, and the guy starts talking about faith ministries. And I'm like, wait a minute. You may not like Bill Johnson. Bethel is the one that wrote it. You may not like Bill Johnson. You don't have to. You may not like their worship. You don't have to. But you better not call a man who has hundreds of miracles in his churches every single day around the world. You better not call him a heretic, because you're going to be calling the Holy Spirit a heretic that functions in all those churches. And that, according to the New Testament, is called blasphemy. And when you blaspheme the Holy Spirit, your life is gone. And I read his first text, and I'm like, wow, what a confused person. His problem with the song is that you and I would actually say some words and a miracle would happen. And I'm thinking, hold it. Go to every miracle in the Bible from Genesis 1:1 to Revelation. And you're going to see that every miracle that happened, somebody in there had to make some kind of a statement in honor of the word that God gave him to say.
Amen.
What an ignorant moron. And I even said it. If you find that video, you even see me saying it. What a moron that you're going to attack the very foundation of our faith, which is what? When you believe in your heart and you speak with your mouth, you will be saved.
Well, he was just obviously controlled by the devil.
Yeah. Obviously. Mm-hmm. Obviously. But you know what? 250,000 followers on his YouTube page. Just because it's big, just because there's a bunch, just because there's other people going yak, yak, yak with you. Don't, man, don't get involved in that. This is something I need to tell this story, and I don't. Are you sure? Wow, 2 minutes. It was a man of...
I'm glad I didn't waste my time watching it.
Yeah, it is. It's a total waste of time. Total waste. And never again. It ain't even worth it. Don't even try. Let them go to hell. Wait a second. Let me see how I say that right. Father, please help that man not to go to hell. There you go. Because that's where you're headed.
Now he's singing. Give him a spanking, Lord, so you don't have to throw him in the lake of fire.
There you go. Yeah, because he who sows discord among the brethren, the Bible calls him an abomination, even if he's a preacher.
Yep. Especially if the preacher's straightening him out.
Right.
Give him a good whipping, Father. I didn't say it. Phyllis did, so... You can
I did. No, I quoted the scripture. I quoted the scripture. You are to the rod, you know.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean you have to break their bones. Just use the rod on them. A belt will do, you know, a few lashes. But a rod is what the Bible actually says.
Well, and the Apostle Peter said, if needs be, you suffer persecution. But when you study if needs be, it means you ain't waking up to what God said.
I think a good switching is, you know, my mother used a switch. She didn't use a rod. But, yeah, a good switching is good enough persecution sometimes make you think.
Even if you're an adult man. I've often asked the Father, the Bible says in Psalm 23 that as a shepherd, the rod and the staff will comfort them. And I have a big shepherd stick, and I've just asked him, can I just take this stick and comfort them? And He's continually told me that's the wrong definition of the word comfort. No, but I need to tell this story, and I'm past my 2 minutes. It's not my story, it's Dr. Barclay's, but I like it better that way because then nobody's trying to figure out who I'm talking about. But there was a man in his church who was an elder. He grew up and got into ministry and everything, and then he got angry at Dr. Barclay for something that he said or preached or whatever. Who knows? You never know what it is with people. And he got very angry, and he began to divide and separate and go visit people and tell them to leave and all that kind of stuff, and wrote a book about how wicked Dr. Barclay was.
Oh, my.
And met with Pastor. And Pastor said, listen, man, you don't have to like me. As Mark, you don't have to like me at all. You can hate me. But if you're going to get to heaven, you have to love me. And I have to warn you that what you're doing is not against me as a man. You're calling the anointing on my life of Satan and not an act of the Holy Spirit. He was mocking him for his signs, wonders, and miracles. And you're going to be destroyed for that because that's blaspheming the Holy Spirit. The man mocked him, left his office, said, whatever, I don't care about you. Ready? He's standing in the yard of a hotel in Michigan. And a gravel train semi-trailer comes around a curve, very slow, about 20 miles an hour. And the guy in the gravel train lost all control of his steering wheel and the whole truck. And way beyond all the skidded tires through the gravel, the road, the dirt, way beyond how far he should have slid, he hit the man and killed him instantly. And everybody came out and it's like, this is impossible. What happened? He said, I lost total control. There was nothing I could do. And he was never tried. He was never convicted. And the man went out into eternity just like that. Why? Because he blasphemed the Holy Spirit. And that's why these people that mock and make fun and listen, cause division amongst the brethren. God calls you an abomination. God calls them an abomination. Don't do it. And don't be a part of it. It doesn't matter what it is. If you no longer agree with something that you've been a part of, when you go away, shut your mouth. Shut your mouth. And go away. The first message I ever heard Dr. Barclay preach that I remembered. Well, it was the very first message, was how to properly leave your local church. I had never heard anybody preach the message. And when he got done, I'm like, I've never heard anything like this in my whole life. And it was absolutely right down the line exactly what the Word of God says. And it wasn't but about a month later, the Holy Spirit said to me, I need you to leave the church you're in and go to Midland and be trained by this man. And Dr. Barclay had trained me of what to say and how to say it when I went to that pastor and to do it properly according to the Word of God. Thank God.
There was never any chance that I could leave my church because it was my great-grandparents' property. They built the church and everybody in the whole community went to that church, and it was a family church, and you know, it was our church. And there was just no way. And besides, I was the worship leader. It was up to me to do what was right.
Amen.
But of course, I wound up getting married and moving to New Orleans and all of that kind of stuff and everything. But that was after I got, you know,
yeah,
of age.
Well, I know that I'm way past my time. I know Dr. Barclay, God gave him that message so that he could help people get their heart right. You don't have to leave someplace mad and using your lips against people. That is never going to be right. Even in a divorce, keep your mouth shut about that other person, because you don't have to worry about all these people out here that's listening. You have to worry about the fact that God Almighty heard what you just said. Forget about the judgment these people are going to give you. There's a day of judgment coming on the other side when you're going to give an account of those words to God Almighty. And that's a whole lot bigger than a Facebook post or a YouTube post or Instagram post. And you can have 10,000 people click like, or love here on this earth and get to heaven and all of it be tried by fire. And like Sister Phyllis said, Lord, give them a whipping so they don't land their butt in hell.
Yeah, love them enough to give them to get a little whipping so that they straighten up the thinking. It's surprising how well the brain cooperates with the body.
Okay, so Phyllis, you're a wonderful grandmotherly type. I'll send you the man's name who did that video and enough money to get a bus ticket to take your paddle and go give him a whipping.
She can do it. Oh, no. Don't you know that the angels take care of that kind of thing? In fact, God did say, vengeance is his. He will repay. He is much more capable of doing that. That's why you prep that he will do it.
Yeah, but we would love to see a video, so make sure you take one of your great-grandchildren with you to record it while you're doing it, because that would be really good.
Yeah, my grandchildren would like to go visiting with me and record something like that. But no, honey, I mind my own business as much as I can, which ain't enough.
Father, in Jesus' name, send Phyllis on some assignments. Just don't send her to my house to give me a whipping. All right, well.
Watch your mouth. I love
you, Phyllis.
No.
I love you too, Rebecca.
No, let's take communion. We're 10 minutes late here. And all of you that might be like, wow, after such an amazing message on marriage, what are you guys doing? Well, this is a group of believers here called the Community of Faith. And we gather together every night to become established in our faith. And what you see here tonight, if you're new, is a family that have stood alongside of each other now for a solid 2 years and helped one another fight some very serious battles and win. Our sister Phyllis, how long were you gone from your house, Phyllis?
About 7 weeks.
7 weeks? It seemed like about 6 months, if you ask me.
It did, didn't it?
It was long.
But my niece was so good, so nice. I shouldn't complain. I'm not complaining at all.
No, right, I know. We're the ones that was complaining, not you. But we've just seen God move wondrously for all of us as we gathered our faith together and took care of one another all the way through the scandemic, the mandemic, and the plandemic. And thank God for all of you. I truly appreciate you guys, and I truly do respect you. And we count on your prayers. Thank you. Thank you. All of you guys have been praying for Sister Leanne and I throughout this last month. My goodness sakes, I've never been in a battle like this over this last month. Let me say it differently. I'm not going to talk that way. Thank you for helping us win a victory in a manner I've never won a victory like this before. But I thank you for your prayers and your faith, because we've come out on top, and we know it wasn't just our faith that was working, but it was yours too. Let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name, thank you for Dr. Barkley. Thank you for the Holy Spirit Conference. Thank you that him and Vicky paid the price all of their life, no matter who betrayed them, no matter who did them wrong, lied to them, no matter what the enemies tried to do to stop them, you've helped them to stand and be faithful. You did. And we received that anointing that came from that place tonight. And we thank you for it. Bless every marriage that's connected here tonight. Bless them with strength and power and might. Lord, you showed me earlier that there would be people that would be connected that are believing for a husband or a wife. Bless them in Jesus' mighty name with holy and righteous, anointed, prosperous, bold, faith-filled mate that they can work together with. and get many things accomplished before you come. We thank you for it. We call it done in Jesus' name. Now bless this time of communion in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
Amen.
Now, we receive communion in this process. I'm going to read the verses about communion from the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 11. And we will pray the prayer of salvation so we know everybody that's connected to us, no matter where you are, whether it's June 23rd, 2022, or you're down the road somewhere, you'll be right with God. And then we will give you a couple minutes of instruction, we'll bless the elements and receive them together. That's our process. And we'll have all that done. It takes about 10 minutes to get it all done. But I don't believe that sipping communion and chewing crackers is the answer. The Word of God is always the answer in our life. Now, last night, Sister Phyllis read the communion verses while I ran and got my grape juice. Does anybody else want to read them tonight? Because once again, I have forgotten my grape juice and my communion elements. Anybody got their Bible handy?
Yeah, it's right here.
1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 23 through 28.
I don't have the pages open.
All right. You got it, Phyllis?
Just about. Okay.
I had 2.5 hours of Holy Spirit conference to go get my communion and totally forgot no matter how many times I got a cup of coffee.
All right. Well, hop to it. I got it now. verse 23. For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. Therefore, whoever eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who, verse 31. For if we would judge ourselves, we will not be judged.
In Jesus' mighty name. 1 John chapter 4, verse 17 and 18. God's perfect love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Why? Because as he, Jesus, is, so are we on this earth. Perfect love. Cast out fear and the torment that goes with it, because there is no fear in God's perfect love. Now, those of you that have joined with us, you may have never had anybody read all the verses like that. Now, here's why we do this. Because everything in the Christian life, in the life of a believer, is based on the Word of God. It's not based on religiosity. It's not based on denominations. It's based on this Word. And so many people have been told things about communion that just are not true. And So that's why the Holy Spirit has led me to this from this point of view. Now, verse 28, 1 Corinthians 11:28 says, let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. You got to hear this simple statement. If you've sinned, don't run from communion, run to it. But pray and get your heart right with God. Just pray. Say, Father, forgive me. I need you. I need the communion elements, and then receive them. That's what verse 28 says. The only person that would show up and be unworthy is someone coming to mock God. Because I guarantee you, anybody who comes here tonight seeking God, before they got here, they were already worthy to receive it because they were seeking God. He rewards those who diligently seek him. You've already been praying, Lord, help me. God, help me. In the name of Jesus, help me. So you're already worthy. Man just said, well, we're going to hold communion only for the members and make it a membership thing. That's wrong. That's pure D, grade A, 100% wrong. Can't do that. There's none of that in this book. I know you've done it, but don't. Just stop it immediately and let people receive the communion elements because they hurt. Remember what the Old Testament, remember the Old Testament is the shadow of what came in the New. When the family brought their sacrifice to the priest, did not check the person, he checked the sacrifice. He didn't examine whether mom and dad and kids had sinned. He already knew they had sinned. He examined the sacrificial lamb to see if it was pure. And Hebrews says that Jesus, once and for all, made the sacrifice. And he was the most perfect sacrificial lamb. And therefore, all you got to do is examine yourself. And when you get done, just say, I need you, Lord, and then pray the prayer with us. Ready? I'm going to pray. My Zoomers are going to pray. And we're going to pray from North Carolina and Louisiana and Michigan, 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 and North Dakota. All in Alabama, all at the same time. Uh-oh, Alabama fell off. Come back, Alabama. Here we go. Pray this prayer with me. Father, in the name of Jesus.
Father, in the name of Jesus.
I know I need you in my life every day.
I know I need you in my life every day.
And according to John 3:16.
And according to John 3:16.
When I believe in you,
when I believe in you,
you give me everlasting life.
You give me everlasting life.
And I will not perish.
And I
thank you for it.
And I thank you for it.
Jesus, I believe you are the Son of God.
Jesus, I believe you are the Son of God.
Put your hands out and say, and I receive you into my life right now.
And I receive you into my life right now.
All of your grace and mercy.
All of your grace and mercy.
All of your love and your righteousness.
All of your love and righteousness.
Filling every part of my life.
Filling every part of my life.
Fill me with your Holy Spirit.
Fill me with your Holy Spirit.
So I live in power.
So I live in power.
Understand the Word of God.
Understand the Word of God.
Pray in my heavenly language.
Pray in my heavenly language.
And live a successful life.
And live a successful life.
As a believer every day.
As a believer every day.
I pray this in Jesus' mighty name.
I pray this in Jesus' mighty name.
Amen and amen. Let us be the first to say, welcome to the family of God. Woo! Everybody give them a big old round of applause. Welcome, 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 welcome. You might say, now I ain't never seen anybody cheer because somebody got born again. Well, you ain't been to a good church then. I mean, come on. You just made the greatest decision of your life, and that is to receive Jesus inside. You will. I'm sure if you truly meant it, you're on the inside going, wow, what's going on in here? What's going on is your being, which was bathed in darkness because you were in sin and not made right with the Father, you are now filled with light. God just filled you with light. Amazing is that. And then not only are you filled with light, but God Almighty, by the power of the Holy Ghost, just came in and just absolutely restored everything there is. You said all of your grace, mercy, love, and righteousness. If that means you just got grace, mercy, love, and righteousness filled every part of your being. What does that do? That drives out the devil, and that lets God Almighty be on the inside of you. And that is a beautiful, and that is a wonderful situation in your life. Now, not only that, but the Father has now adopted you into his family. You are an heir of God and a joint heir with Jesus. And you know what that means? That means everything that heaven has available is now belong to you. You are a joint heir with Jesus. Romans chapter 8, verse 14 through 17. Now, well, who are you then, Pastor? We are the most radical group of believers you ever found in your life. Phyllis has a paddle. She travels all over the United States giving adults whippings when they get out of line. We're a group of believers who have truly come together to believe what God wrote in this book and get ourselves free of everything that matters so that we can walk with God and truly transform our world today. That's who we are. And that's why you want to be a part of what we're doing. God brought you here. I don't know why he didn't take you somewhere else, but he brought you here, so you might as well get connected, be a part of what we're doing. Because you obviously have a gift that this body of believers needs, and we receive you right now in Jesus' mighty name. Now,
I don't know if I have a gift, but you have a gift that I need.
Oh, you got a major gift we need, Mary, and that's faith.
I have to ask you something.
During communion.
I don't care. It's about communion. Because I said something against a pastor in our area that is the truth. But am I going to get kicked out of heaven for that? I only told one person, two people.
Now, just so everybody knows, you may have never had a question and answer session right in the middle of communion. But we have had many different things happen in the middle of communion. Now, this is just a question that's in response to what we've been dealing with tonight.
Against yourself. Yes, you want to judge.
Yes.
Forgive yourself, honey.
You have to forgive yourself, and then you have to report to Louisiana, and Phyllis is going to give you a whipping, and then it'll be all over.
Well, how about if I tell you God loves you, and the truth ought to be told, only the next time, go to the person that you know that you're wrong. Instead of a third person behind their back.
Yeah, that,
okay. I don't think that person thinks they did wrong.
Well, and that's where that's that. And that's why I just said, just make sure that when it comes to division, keep your mouth shut. Because remember this principle, and we'll go back to communion. Remember this principle. No, listen. This is good. Remember this principle. If you are not an authority over the person that's doing wrong, who are you in God that has a right to openly rebuke them in front of others? You don't. It's a very simple process if we just do what the Bible says.
Yeah, pray for that person.
You pray for that person, and you keep your mouth shut because you're not going to be the one that creates the division. See, what it is there's so many people that have said, I have the right to say something because they're wrong. You can't show me a verse in the Bible that says that. If you are an authority in their life, remember, God made everything about authority. If you're an authority in their life, then you got the right to say it. Now, let's go back to communion. Now watch. I'm gonna swing Mary's question right into communion. You guys hear me say all the time to people, to preachers, or to anybody who's in charge of a ministry that is holding communion until they're a member. You hear me correct them publicly. But what you don't hear me do is use somebody's name. What I'm doing is in the realm of the spirit, as an apostle sent to fix this, a pastor in my office, and maybe prophetically speaking, I'm declaring into the realm of the spirit, if that's you, stop. But you don't ever hear me say a name. Why? Because that would be totally out of order for me to come on here and say a name, because unless I'm there to correct them and have already done it privately, then I would be out of order to do it publicly. And that's where this is at. Most of all, Mary, thank God for his blood. Thank God for his grace and his mercy. And you and I know that we have all grown and developed in so many ways right here in this body of believers. And we're glad to have you on board with us. Now, the other thing is this. What you hear in our sister Mary is a tender heart that only wants to do the work of God. That's what you're hearing. And
I don't want to make God mad at me because he said something.
Right. Right. Well, here's the thing. If he is mad at you, that was whenever that happened. It's not today, because you've already repented of anything you did wrong many times right here publicly with all of us. And he's not mad at you. You do not, none of us, I want everybody to listen. There ain't a one of you here that has a heavenly father who's mad at you unless you have turned and shaken your fist in his face and said, I will not. He's not like an earthly father. He does not get mad in that context. He is your father who is gently guiding you, and we learned tonight, giving you a whipping if you need it, guiding you into the paths of righteousness for his namesake. But he's never going to come down on you with a club to beat you. Never. That's what humans did. Has arms of love, and it might be the left arm this time that pulls you in close and says, are you listening to me? And you'll have to say, no, I wasn't, but I am now. I love the story of Terry Mize. God said, turn your Bible to Romans chapter 12, verse 2. And he said, I don't need to turn my Bible there. God, I already know what it says. And he's quoted it to him. He said, I said, turn your Bible. Whoa. Whoops. I got a little arrogant with my father. Please forgive me. But here's the thing about our father. He forgives you immediately. If your heart is just, I need to know how this works, which is why we are here where we are in communion. Now, some of you might say, Pastor, I never seen a communion service like this. I know. Wait till you're here, and then we laugh for about 20 minutes during communion.
Or 4 hours.
See, what we've done with God is we stuck him in a box and said, you only get to do this. Do not do anything besides that, God. Do you hear me? Do you hear me, God? Don't do that. Well, you got to stop that, because that might just be a lightning bolt, a rod you're pointing up there at him. Oh.
I didn't do that. I didn't do that.
Yeah.
I tell other people not to do that. I know there's more than 365 places in the Bible that tells me that God is love.
Yeah. Amen. Amen. Mm-hmm. Amen. And so thank you, Mary, for saying what you said. And for those of you that are listening with us, we just prayed the prayer of salvation. I told 2 minutes of instruction, but I think I just gave you 8. All right. But it's okay, because all it did was take you deeper into an understanding of who our God is. Remember the simple principle. If my words are going to cause division amongst these brethren that are listening, I'm going to be considered an abomination in the eyes of my Father. I'm going to close my lips, because he's going to require me to come back and make it right with this group of people. It's a simple principle. If my lips are causing division, I'm an abomination. Don't say it. What's the proverb say? It's better to be silent and thought a fool than to open your mouth and remove all doubt.
Is that actually in the Bible?
That's actually a proverb, yes. Even a fool is considered wise when he keeps his lips. Now, let's receive the communion elements. Here we go. Are you ready? We'll bless them, and then we'll receive them together. Hold your elements up, and let's bless them together. Father, in the name of Jesus.
Father, in the name of Jesus.
I bless and sanctify these elements.
I bless and sanctify these elements.
For this time of communion with you, Lord.
For this time of communion with you, Lord.
Jesus, you were wounded.
Jesus, you were wounded.
For my transgression.
For my transgression.
You were bruised for my iniquities.
You were bruised for my iniquities.
A chastisement for my peace.
The chastisement for my
people is upon you, Lord.
Is upon you, Lord.
And by your stripes I am healed.
And by your stripes I am healed.
In my spirit, in my soul, and in my body.
In my spirit, in my soul, and in my body.
In my mind, my will, and my emotion.
In my mind, my will, and my emotion.
Nothing missing, nothing broken.
Nothing missing, nothing
broken. Every joint supplying.
Every joint supplying.
In my body.
In my body.
From your broken body, Jesus.
From your broken body. Jesus.
In the body of Christ in my community.
In the body of Christ in my community.
And right here in this community of faith.
Wait,
say this with me. All the way from the United States of America.
All the way from the United States of America.
All the way to Malaysia.
All the way to Malaysia.
In Jesus' mighty name.
In Jesus'
Let's receive his broken body together. Thank you, Jesus. Now we lift up the cup of blessing. Pray this with me. By the blood of Jesus.
By the blood of Jesus.
I have been redeemed.
I have been redeemed.
By the blood of Jesus.
By the blood of Jesus.
I have reconciliation.
I have reconciliation.
With you, my Father.
With you, my Father.
By the blood of Jesus.
By the blood of Jesus.
Every sin has been placed in remission. In my life forever, I am a new creation.
I am a new creation.
Old things have passed away, and all things have become new.
And all things have become new.
And I thank you for it.
And I thank you for it.
By the blood of Jesus.
By the blood of Jesus.
I come boldly
to
the throne room of grace.
To
Where I find grace, mercy, and help.
Where I find grace, mercy, and
for
help.
My assignment every day.
For my assignment every day.
By the blood of Jesus.
By the blood of Jesus.
And the word of my testimony.
And the word of my testimony.
I overcome.
I overcome.
By the blood of Jesus.
By the blood of Jesus.
Every plague has to pass over.
Every
and cannot be on me or my family. My conscience is purged. My robes are made white. And I will always be.
And I will always
the glorious church. Without spot, wrinkle, or any other blemish. When you come for me.
When you come for me.
In Jesus' mighty name.
In Jesus' mighty name.
Amen. Let's receive his blood together. Glory. Hallelujah to the newborn king. You ready? Let's sing our song. Hold on. There is a name I love to hear. I love to sing its word. It sounds like music in my ear. The sweetest name. Oh, how I love you, Jesus. Oh, how I love you, Jesus. Oh, how I love you, Jesus. Because you first love me. Now, for those of you who have never heard a true internet choral ensemble, that's what it sounds like. Now, during the pandemic, when all of the nations were having 50, 60, 80 people, and they were singing the song, the blessing together, and it was all perfectly timed. Somebody sat for many hours editing that all so that it was perfect. But when you're live, like we are, and you're in Louisiana and Michigan, 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 Alabama, North Dakota, Malaysia, there's no way to get all of that to be exactly on tune and pitch, but we're not going to stop singing just because it doesn't sound perfect like a big apple.
Well, I think you all sounded wonderful.
Yes, you did.
And I love that pink shirt you're wearing, Rebecca.
Two thumbs up for
you.
Sister Phyllis.
Bless your heart.
And all y'all people. Now, let's give you a couple pointers here. Number one, tomorrow at 10:30 a.m. Eastern, Dr. Barclay will be back for the morning session of